Ian Basarabi, the future of work. Good morning. Have you lost your mind?
I think I lost it a while ago.
And that even presumes that you had it. I'm sorry. I was busy reading you Karen's message. I have a request for Helicopter. I'm having the best morning today. Awesome music. Great info. Learned a lot. To all my mates out there, have a lekker day. That is from Karen, having a good time. Exactly. You know why, Karen? Because Anatia and I woke up this morning and we felt the shift in energy.
We did.
We said it is a better day today. Maybe because it's like Balmer. Maybe just, I don't know why, but there's a shift.
There really is.
And you know what? We're not obligated to be miserable.
No.
There's no obligation for us to be miserable.
Not at all, no.
No, absolutely not. How are you feeling this morning, Ian?
I'm actually feeling good. I think I'm also in that energy. Maybe it's because I'm having a haircut later. That's something I'm looking forward to.
Yes.
Look, yeah, you see.
I
don't know if it's my haircut or the fact that my kids are making popcorn and getting set up outside to witness a comedy or something. I don't know.
Hold on. So your wife is giving you a haircut later today?
Yes, she is.
Does she have any experience in this?
Like me.
None whatsoever.
By the way, Zanati cuts both black people's hair and white people's hair.
Yes.
She told us earlier.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
So she is multiracially qualified.
Does she do house calls?
No, she does not. That's
unfortunately
illegal.
Not now.
That's illegal. But if
yeah, exactly.
Ian, Karen wants to know, can she come with you as well? She's missing her hairdresser. I said not as much as her hairdresser is missing her. Mm-hmm.
Well, I tell you, there's a chance. You remember the mullet, the 80s mullet? There's a big chance that that's going to make a comeback. It's just some of us don't have that type of hair anymore.
Yeah.
You know, the long...
Ian, will you send us photos, please, before and after? I think this is worth documenting.
Okay, maybe. I'll do a Facebook Live. I don't know.
Don't do that. Are you mad? Don't do Facebook Live over something like this.
Put your wife under pressure.
No pressure.
Yeah, in fact, it happened the other day, before haircuts became a religious problem. My one son decided he needed a haircut, and the other one said, no, don't worry, he'll help him out. And we were petrified to tell him about what the back of his head looks like.
Oh,
literally holes, gaping holes. But then it made lockdown easier for him. The show is better with Ian, says Karen.
Oh wow!
So we're doing a terrible job before Ian.
Karen, I thought we were doing fine
for 2 hours, Howard.
For 2 hours, we've managed this upbeat, happy, doing what we could to bring you information. The show's better with Ian.
And nobody told us that for 2 hours.
Yeah, we weren't doing such a good job, apparently. It's not even you. Who knew? Well, it is
we're
lucky.
Basically trash. We're 2 hours.
I don't think you're trash necessarily, Zanati. I don't think that's what they meant. I don't know. Anyway, Ian, before the wheels come off completely, let's talk about the future of work. First of all, let's just explain this concept that we were talking about earlier. To furlough somebody, because we don't have this term here in South Africa, but it's suddenly all over the news because we're seeing it in the UK in particular. I thought furlough meant to retrench. I thought it was just an interchangeable word that they used. Is that not the case?
Well, I thought furlough was something to do with horses when I first heard about it. But that's something
that also makes sense, yes.
But from what I understand is that furlough is a temporary layoff from work. So what typically happens overseas is those that get furloughed usually get to return to their jobs after furlough. And I guess the closest I've come to comparing it in South Africa is unpaid leave. So it's kind of like taking long-term unpaid leave where you would potentially still get all your benefits and that from your company, but you wouldn't be paid your salary. And that's a way of a company not having to retrench you or lay you off, but are able to reduce their monthly salary costs. So I must say I'm not familiar with it totally, and I'm probably going to reach out to one of my friends is a labor lawyer to get better terminology, but I would say it's not retrenchment, Howard.
It's almost like paid leave, right?
Unpaid leave.
I mean, right. In horses, it's furlong, says Charles. They're taking no prisoners today,
yeah,
are
no,
they?
Yeah, no, definitely not.
It looks like it's furlong.
No, I'm sure it's furlough, but anyway.
I know, this is just what I'm saying. Karen says she's joking. You guys are doing a great job. Thanks, Karen. And she said it's a beautiful day. Champagne, blue skies, all is good. All right. The other thing worth mentioning that Dr. Anton Myberg mentioned earlier, and it is worth saying again, is that it's International Nurses Day today. For some reason,
it's because I've been quoting Florence Nightingale all over the show.
You really have. Mm-hmm. It's like you're at one with the universe.
Yep, she was
with
born on
your brothers and sisters globally standing. Yeah. I was going to say hand in hand, but we don't stand hand in hand. We stand a safe distance away. Your voice is sometimes very soft compared to others on the Morning Mayhem. Please check it out. That is from Dov. Dov, thank you. All right. If anyone else experiences that, please let us know. Normally, the complaints are normally the other way around. Is that, hey, I'm too loud and
speechless.
B, I don't
Howard,
get a
I've never heard
word.
That said about you.
Howard, you're too soft and too quiet. You need to say more. It's true.
Is that like when your parents went to a parents' evening, they said, Howard's the quietest kid in the class. He never speaks up.
Right, exactly. They never got that complaint. Exactly, they never got that complaint. But there we have it. Vaughan Hutton, thanks, Vaughan. He says, in England, furlough, you get paid a salary and the government subsidizes it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Interesting.
All right, that's
okay, so that's right. That's why. That makes sense, Vaughan. Thank you. Because that's why there was such controversy over David Beckham's wife. What's her name?
Victoria.
Posh is the one you know.
Well, I knew her as Posh. I didn't know she changed her name to Victoria. So Victoria Beckham furloughed a lot of her staff from her ailing
fashion brand. Yes.
And people were fuming because it was costing the state around about £65,000 or £75,000 a month to pay them or to subsidize them. So what Vaughan is saying makes perfect sense, actually. Right, so that is very interesting. Linda says, Howard, I'll be taking furlough into the garden when you play helicopter. It's so fresh out there. Why are they all arguing about helicopters? So many people. Charles says, why ruin a perfect day with helicopter? I haven't even said I'm playing
it. I think they're asking for it, Howard.
They are.
Yeah.
It's quite unbelievable. Are you really?
Mm-hmm.
There you have it. That's a feel-good song. That's from Karen Gimple. Says, don't you think it sounds like Arnold Schwarzenegger? He does. He really, really does. Don't you think so, Ian?
Yeah, I actually just thought about that. And it's almost that people enjoy it, Howard. You can see that they're just taunting you.
I know. You know what? That's why whenever they insult me, I just think it comes from a place of love.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Look, I grew up in a fairly German household. That's what we thought. that's why I think I like the abuse. I'm taking my Tochter in my Bugatti and we're going for a ride in a helicopter. Thanks for a great show. That's from AJ. today's music. That is from Gail. And Gimple says, forget helicopter, play Dlamini Zuma Zol. It's the after lockdown wedding hit. Okay, I'm going to find. I know you did send it to me.
Oh,
I haven't even
okay.
listened to it. I must be honest. I'm going to get it, and I will play. I will see if it's worth playing. Maybe tomorrow. Martin says happy helicopters, and best song ever. Unsigned. All right. So there you have it. All right, Ian. Unfortunately, we but it's not even our fault. All right. So let's talk the future of work in a few minutes that we do have. Can we talk about the different type of leadership style that has come to the fore during this COVID-19 crisis?
So Howard, I think as we start navigating into a new stage, you know, this is not linked to the stages of lockdown, but the stages of moving into our new workplaces and getting into a new rhythm, is we're starting to see that leadership is taking on a new form in a way, and for many years, compassionate leadership or being an empathetic leader was seen as a weakness, and it's now being seen as a necessity. And it's very interesting to see that that leaders are now starting to show qualities that that I think 6 months ago or even less, these qualities wouldn't have been frowned upon, as I say. So to give you an example is that many people are going back to their places of work, and they're coming into an environment that is totally different. I was listening to, I think it was actually on the Jewish Report panel that they had the other night, where one of the panelists was saying that somebody's walked into one of the big banks and the environment is totally different because they've gone through a whole process of setting up for social distancing and all of that stuff. Now, can you imagine coming into your house and all your furniture has been rearranged and everything's in a different place? That is huge. That's got nothing to do with getting back to work. That's basically about how people are feeling working into a strange place. And leaders need to be aware of that. They can't just tell people to sit down and start working. They actually have to almost bring people back into an environment in a very caring and compassionate way.
You know, it's interesting. When we were chatting to David Abramson on Thursday, he certainly made me aware of it. I think I was being a terribly insensitive parent, which has happened from time to time. But what he pointed out, and it really did resonate for me, is that for teenagers, there is a very, very, and kids in general, there's a very real sense of potential of loss. In other words, my daughter would have gone on an Israel program towards the end of the year. It's unlikely that is going to happen. There's a sense of loss. You look forward to these things your whole school career. Maybe somebody was going to play first team rugby. Maybe somebody was going to be part of something in this year that has now been lost. And at the same time, just extending that to a workplace. And for all of us, there's a sense of loss. We have had a sense of loss over what was and what is. And it doesn't mean that it's all going to be bad and that we need to be miserable about it. But the fact that, that we haven't been able to spend time with family and with friends and socialize and have functions and, you know, connect with people in the way, in the style and work in the same environment that we love working in a way that we love doing it, there's a real sense of loss around that, and I think we have to recognize and just maybe appreciate that before we just say to people, all right, you know, just be grateful you've got a job, there's your desk, you know, it's 2 meters away from somebody else's, you know, sanitize your hand, put on your mask and off we go.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not going to be as easy as you say walking into a meeting for the first time with clients, as an example. You know, we joked about it at the beginning where we would have these little quirks and these little things of how do you avoid shaking people's hands. But that was kind of when we were still in the curious phase, I would say, of understanding this. But going forward, people are in different mindsets and everyone's going to have a different belief around how to deal with this. And I think the biggest thing that leaders are going to be faced with is really looking at physical environments like you're talking about, people's mental state around being anxious, paranoid, and almost fearful of coming back into an environment. And then also relationships, relational. How are you going to relate? You know, you're going to have to accept that everybody is going to adjust to this new way of work in a different way. And that's what's going to require what is being framed now as a culture-driven leadership. And that's really a leadership that's based on how do you grow others by understanding where they're coming from. And where they're coming from, and I love this also came out of the session the other night, was look outside of just that person that shows up at work. What is going on in their lives outside of work? Because I think the one thing about remote working or whatever is we've had a taste of what people do in their personal lives and their family lives is because virtual meetings and virtual calls and whatever we're doing has actually taken a step into our homes and our lives. And we shouldn't lose that. I think we should have a respect for that people do have other things going on within their lives outside of the workplace. And if you don't embody that into your business culture, it's going to be very difficult to keep people focused and keep people feeling comfortable, like you say, letting go and losing some of those things that we may have gained during lockdown, but also getting used to a new environment that is different from the past.
Absolutely. Very, very, very interesting and very valid. I love this concept of a culture-driven leadership, because that really is what this is about. If you aren't able to do that, I just can't imagine how this could function. Ian, before I let you go, we're just going to go to news headlines. We'll be back with you in just a moment to wrap this up.
In your headlines, Israel COVID-19 death toll rises to 258. There were 29 new cases recorded over the last day. Two arrested for assaulting Jews in Brooklyn. They ripped their masks off while making anti-Semitic remarks. 12 more COVID-19 deaths in South Africa. The death toll is at 206, with over 10,600 confirmed cases and funds raised for foreign nationals excluded from relief efforts. This is until they can get back to work. Catch the full bulletin at the top of the hour.
Thanks, Anati. Time is 8:32. Benjamin says, hey, Howard, this Lekker helicopter tune of yours. Well, I don't know if it's of mine, but fine. Sort of reminds me of that Yellow Duo character tune. One was Oh Yeah. They were also German. They were in the mid 80s. No, I don't know. As I'm reading it, something is ringing a vague sort of a bell, but not quite. I'm not making the connection properly. Karen M says, this is the first time I've heard helicopter while walking, and it's good to walk to. Well, that's good to know as well. Kim Fine says, can you please ask Ian if this is how he sees this social distancing for the next few years?
So Howard, it's a very interesting question. And we saw yesterday where there were reports that were coming out. I saw it on Bloomberg, but I think it was on News 24, where Cyril Ramaphosa was quoted as saying, we need to see this for the long run about social distancing and for at least a year. I think it's going to become beyond a year, Howard. It's going to become part of our so-called DNA. And I think there's going to be a much deeper understanding of our own well-being. And I don't want to call it social distancing, because then we're going to start talking about like being antisocial and all of that stuff. I think it's more about being cognizant of our own well-being. And perhaps that's the thing, is that there will be a bigger emphasis on like hygiene or healthcare or in the workplace. It'll also be about looking after oneself. So starting with yourself, taking care of yourself. But also there's going to be, if I can call it, a demand or an expectation by individuals from their employers. You know, in the same way that we ask for certain benefits, people are going to require this. And hopefully we look at that in a positive way, that that's a good thing. But I think that this is here for a while, at least until we've got some certainty around a vaccine, or we've got some certainty around the fact that we can't be contaminated by this invisible virus. And you spoke about it earlier, about that future of work of being like I call it like an immunity detective. And you've got all these apps now that you can go out and check and everything, whether somebody's been contaminated. Until that uncertainty is gone in some ways, this is yet to stay for a while. So Kim, it is getting used to. I wouldn't see it as something to be fearful of. I'd see it as something to embrace, but find it in a positive way.
Ian Basrobi, the future of work. Fascinating conversation. Thank you, as always.